But I did want to come back to one thing regarding this latest event, the U.S. bombing of Syria. You know, I've noticed a pattern. Every time a president wants to take us to war, the arguments are always the same. It's the same script. I did a little editing last night. I went back into the archives of different speeches of different presidents, and I put together a montage of the various speeches to illustrate the fact that it's the same script regardless of who is in power. You'll hear George W. Bush, Barack Obama, Donald Trump, and for a good measure, I threw in U.S. Ambassador to the U.N., Nikki Haley. They're all making the case for war.
For 6 years, the world has watched as the Syrian government and its leader, Bashar al-Assad, have terrorized its own people.
Assad's government gassed to death over 1,000 people, including hundreds of children.
Beautiful babies.
The images from this massacre are sickening. Men, women, children lying in rows, killed by poison gas.
There can be no dispute.
Intelligence gathered by this and other governments leaves no doubt
that Syria used banned chemical weapons,
that the Iraqi regime continues to possess and conceal some of the most lethal weapons ever devised,
using a deadly nerve agent.
This regime has already used weapons of mass destruction against Iraq's neighbors and against Iraq's people.
Shortly after those rockets landed, the gas spread.
Assad choked out the lives of helpless men, women, and children,
and hospitals filled with the dying and the wounded.
It has murdered hundreds of thousands and displaced millions. It has broken international law.
The question now is what the United States of America and the international community is prepared to do about it.
One reason the UN was founded after the Second World War was to confront aggressive dictators actively and early.
What kind of world will we live in if the United States of America sees a dictator brazenly violate international law with poison gas and we choose to look the other way?
Years of previous attempts at changing Assad's behavior have all failed, and failed very dramatically.
Every measure has been taken to avoid war.
Over the last 2 years, my administration has tried diplomacy and sanctions, warnings and negotiations, but chemical weapons were still used.
The regime has a history of reckless aggression in the Middle East.
Over the last few days, we've seen some encouraging signs, in part because of the credible threat of U.S. military action.
Yet the only way to reduce the harm and duration of war is to apply the full force and might of our military.
Tonight I ordered a targeted military strike on the airfield in Syria.
America's not the world's policeman. Terrible things happen across the globe, and it is beyond our means to right every wrong.
But free nations have a duty to defend our people by uniting against the violent. And tonight, as we have done before, America and our allies accept that responsibility.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
And God bless the United States of America.
And may God continue to bless America.
See, it's the same script.
Yeah, it is.
They can finish each other's sentences. Yeah, now I mentioned earlier about Hillary Clinton. I want to come back to that because we were talking about how all the policies stay the same regardless of who's in office. Well, she was at a forum called Women in the World. And right before Trump commenced his airstrike on Syria's airfield, guess what she called for?
I'm the first to say that these are not easy decisions. That's why you want to get the best information you can from the best advisors you can, and to really drill down into whatever the situation is. I left the government, and I then did promote a no-fly zone, and I still believe we should have done a no-fly zone. I think we should have been more willing to confront Assad, because remember, the Russians didn't get in at first, and the Iranian help was pretty much on the ground with the so-called Revolutionary Guard, Quds Force, and they were enlisting Hezbollah units to fight on the ground because there was a real fight going on. But
I'll tell you what, I'll finish that soundbite when we come back. And I've got another one from her that's even more important than this one. Just before Trump did his airstrike on this airfield in Syria in retaliation for the alleged chemical weapons attack, we know that it wasn't really a chemical weapons attack. This is what Hillary Clinton said at this women's forum.
Assad had an air force, and that air force is the cause of most of the civilian deaths, as we have seen over the years and as we saw again in the last few days. And I really believe that we should have and still should take out his airfields and prevent him from being able to use them to bomb innocent people and drop sarin gas on them.
Woohoo! And then, like a bunch of stooges, the audience just applauds.
Well, they're probably all the people that are going to make money. You know, once Assad falls and they can go in there like vultures, you know, and democratic tyranny in. I mean, because if you look at it, you're at the global strategic plan, there's not just the building of highways, it's the implementation, the laying of fiber and pipelines and electricity.
Yep.
And then you're talking about the technology for a smart grid and the systems associated with that, the education systems. I mean, so you're talking about a lot of money, and there is a lot of incentive to set up a leader like Assad, because there are billions of dollars to be made in private hands.
Yeah.
You know, and in these free zones, something that I didn't mention in these free zones, they can have their own police force. A corporation could hire somebody like Blackwater. I know they're not called Blackwater now, but
yeah, they change their name about every other week.
Yeah, with good reason.
There are
a lot of those kinds of companies with private military contractors that are really nothing more than mercenaries, assassins.
Yeah, what does that say about your company when you have to change the name every week because of bad PR?
Yeah.
But, yeah, you're right on the money regarding what the purpose is. I believe 110% that this is what it's all about. It's about the technocracy. Because, listen to what she says next. The whole reason why they want to remove Assad from power and the agreement that she was a part of setting up back in 2012.
I wish that the international community writ large had been able to rein this in. I spent a lot of time with the Russians, with the Arab states, the Gulf states, and I actually had worked out an agreement for a transition in June of 2012 in Geneva, and we had hammered it out all day long. The Russian foreign minister, Lavrov, actually agreed to it. And it was calling for a technocratic government and, in effect, for the easing out of Assad. And I know that he left our meeting. I know he went to his embassy. I know that he asked, you know, for guidance, and he came back and agreed. So it lasted about 24 hours because basically Assad said, I'm not going anywhere.
That's it, Darren. I can retire now. You've got it. You've got the clip. She says it. That's it.
But yeah, this is what it's about, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, I'm serious. I mean,
I don't think it's about the pipeline. I really don't. I think it's about implementing world government and, in particular, the technocratic system. She basically said that this is what they wanted to do back in 2012.
Yeah,
and they would have already been underway if it weren't for the fact that John Kerry screwed up and made that dumb statement. He probably got his butt chewed over that.
I'm sure he probably did. But yeah, the pipeline, if you look at the design of the Trans-Texas Corridor, you know, where they had like 12 lanes of highway lanes, plus the train, plus pipeline, plus the fiber, plus the electricity all running down a transportation corridor, you see the pipeline is just, you know, one piece of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, she said it all right there.
Yep.
That's it.